Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll get back to Tyrese Haliburton in just a second and his heroics, which are just stupid good. And that's the best way I could describe it. What he does right now is just stupid. Stupid, 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 stupid. And I mean that in a good way. We were talking about Aaron Rodgers right before the break and him going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you just had to guess, do you think the reaction in Pittsburgh, Stu, is a positive one or a negative one when it comes to Aaron Rodgers joining the organization?
I would say it's positive just because if it wasn't Rodgers, there's going to be Mason Rudolph. So that's what I would think. I would think it's positive.
Samter, how about yourself? Do you think it's a positive one or a negative reaction when it comes to Aaron Rodgers joining the yellow and black?
I would say positive, but only because it's been so much in the works and they knew that if it wasn't him, they didn't draft really his replacement per se, and Mason Rudolph wasn't the guy. They didn't sign anybody that there was really going to be the guy. So it was almost like this is the best option. So it's positive only because what else are you going to hope for?
I'm going to ask a question. Would you rather have Mason Rudolph or Aaron Rodgers entering this season? How do you answer it?
Aaron Rodgers.
Stu?
Definitely Rodgers.
I'd rather have Mason Rudolph.
Huh.
And it's nothing in me saying that Mason Rudolph is the better quarterback because he's not. That would just be a lie. What are you really doing with Aaron Rodgers? Just making the postseason? Eh, who cares? Even if you win a playoff game, like that to me is what success is. You win a playoff game, sure, it's a one-year thing. Then what are you doing next year? So with how loaded this quarterback draft class is supposed to be, and I'll believe it when I see it, right? Because this time last year we were talking about Carson Beck. Oh, he's going to be the number one overall pick. Carson Beck didn't even go to the draft this year. Georgia said, thanks, but no thanks. You got to go. And he ended up going to Miami, where I guess he was dating a Cavender twin when he got there. And then the Cavenders are like, yeah, Carson Beck, not really fond of him anymore. So, you know what? We'll leave him. And then, boom, Carson Beck now has a lot of money. He's still banged up. Doesn't have a Cavender twin, but at least now you're having... I think some of his cars got stolen too, I think. I read something like that. I remember seeing that video right towards the end of their relationship. But at least you have the money to go to Joe Stonecrab. So it can't be terrible to be Carson Beck. But the point I'm making here is this. I'd rather have Mason Rudolph because I'd rather just have this be a reset year if I'm the Steelers. And if Mike Tomlin goes 9-8, 10-7, Mason Rudolph, all right. Mike, you know what? I won't criticize you again. But in all likelihood, if you have Mason Rudolph as your quarterback, you're winning 5-6 games. And then you could be in position if Arch Manning comes out of college, if Lenore Sellers is there, Garrett Nussmeier, if Drew Aller finally gives Hickey something to cheer for, and then the next thing you know, you got Drew Aller being a pro quarterback, you know, top 5, top 10 of the draft. I'd rather have a chance to do that. Because since Big Ben walked out the door, what have they done? All right, Duck Hodges, Mason Rudolph, Kenny Pickett, didn't work out. And then you wasted a year last year with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Like, just keep on wasting years. So that's why I'd rather have Mason Rudolph. It's nothing to do with I think Mason Rudolph being good. It's actually because I think Mason Rudolph is bad. And he would muck it up, and then you get a better draft pick. That's what I would do. Like, maybe you go draft the next Jaden Daniels. Maybe you go draft the next C.J. Stroud. Now, maybe you go draft your guy that could turn your franchise around and bring them back to the days of what Big Ben did and also what Terry Bradshaw did as well. So the reason I ask this, two prominent sports talkers in Pittsburgh, Chris Mack and Andrew Filippone. These tweets came up directly after my conversation. Now, Twitter, Twitter yesterday was interesting, just to say the least. In the moment when I first said, what's going on Twitter? I had no clue what was going on yesterday between Mr. Musk and President Trump. No clue. No clue whatsoever. And then I started to learn what was going on. I'm like, oh, wow, Twitter's crazy. But on my timeline, I saw Chris Mack and Filippone, even though these tweets were from yesterday at 10:50 and yesterday at 7:17 p.m., both of these tweets ended up coming up on my timeline directly after talking about Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin on the air. This is Chris Mack. Bookmark this. Aaron Rodgers will be what late-stage Big Ben Roethlisberger was, mostly exceedingly average, bad at times, with the occasional lightning bolt of greatness remaining. Does that get the Steelers anything better than 9-8 or 10-7? Doubtful. Maybe, if everything goes well, 11-6, but that's the best case. Worst case, he's the dude we saw for most of last season. They finished 7-10 and still end up drafting outside of the top 10. Andrew Filippone, my 2 cents. Aaron Rodgers is washed up and everyone will regret this decision by Columbus Day. Bookmark this. So that's just a take from two Pittsburgh sport talkers. Now, it doesn't mean that that represents the entire city, but I do think there's going to be a lot of people that just feel as if this is a waste of time. And even if they do win a playoff game this year. So, like, let me say if you're anti-Mike Tomlin right now. If he wins a playoff game, now you don't have that in your, that bullet in your chamber where you go, oh, he's never won a playoff game since 2016. Even if they do win a playoff game, and let's say they then win the wild card round and they lose divisional round weekend, are you that much better off than where you are right now? Because it's not like Rodgers is going to come back the year after that, I would imagine, right? Rodgers probably then, that would be his ride off into the sunset moment. So then with that being said, it's almost as if it's still a wasted year, but it's really a wasted year if he doesn't win a playoff game. But even if he does, how do you advance that? What do you do to make people then really believe in Mike Tomlin? Does Mike Tomlin finally winning a playoff game for the first time in like 8 years, whatever it is, does that make you say, oh, wow, if I was on the fence about Mike Tomlin, now I'm definitely a believer? Still would need to address finding that quarterback. And not everyone, right, has Peyton Manning into Andrew Luck, and that would have worked if the Colts front office just knew how to protect Andrew Luck. Not everyone's able to go from Montana to Young. Not everyone's able to go from Favre to Rodgers, right? Doesn't always happen that way, right? There's a lot of cases where you have a Dan Marino and then you never get a quarterback for 40 years. And you thought that was funny there, Samson, that I just said Dan Marino?
You're saying the Tua isn't hit the replacement of Dan Marino?
They're paying him like he is Dan Marino. He ain't.
AJ Feely, Ryan Tannehill, those aren't the guys?
No, are you going to tell me Matt Moore now? I think Matt Moore was there.
Maybe Jay Fiedler?
Look at, for the Bills, for example, they had Jim Kelly. Four straight Super Bowls. Four straight Super Bowl appearances. Look at all those quarterbacks until you found Josh Allen. And even then, you still don't have a Super Bowl now. So you look at it, just because you are a great organization, that could fade very quick. I saw it with my team, 20 years being in the penthouse. Now we can't even get reservations to get a spot in the penthouse for like a 10 p.m. dinner reservation. We can't do it. So that's what I'm just saying with this whole Aaron Rodgers stuff. It seems as if this is another punt year for the Steelers. Real quickly, and I'll promise we'll get back to this Halliburton stuff, but now this Rodgers stuff is on my mind again. Stu, just give me, which quarterback would you rather have?
Okay.
Josh Allen or Aaron Rodgers entering this season?
Josh Allen.
Tua Tagovailoa or Aaron Rodgers?
I think Rodgers.
Okay. Justin Fields or Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers.
Drake May or Aaron Rodgers?
For just this year, I'd say Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, not for the future.
Yeah, I'm not thinking in the future, for sure.
Okay. Lamar Jackson or Aaron Rodgers?
Lamar.
Joe Burrow or Aaron Rodgers?
Burrow.
Whoever the Browns will start at quarterback or Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. C.J. Stroud or Aaron Rodgers?
C.J. Stroud.
Anthony Richardson / Daniel Jones or Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers.
Trevor Lawrence or Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. Cam Ward or Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers.
Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers?
Mahomes.
Justin Herbert or Aaron Rodgers?
Herbert.
Bo Nix or Aaron Rodgers?
I'll go Rodgers.
Ooh, okay. Geno Smith or Aaron Rodgers?
I'll go Rodgers.
Jalen Hurts or Aaron Rodgers?
Hurts.
Jaden Daniels or Aaron Rodgers?
Daniels.
All righty. Dak Prescott or Aaron Rodgers?
I'll go Dak.
Okay. The Giants, Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. Jared Goff or Aaron Rodgers?
Jared Goff.
Okay. J.J. McCarthy or Aaron Rodgers?
I'd go Rodgers.
Ooh, Rodgers is like, see, I told you so, Minnesota. Jordan Love or Aaron Rodgers?
Jordan Love.
Okay. Caleb Williams or Aaron Rodgers?
I will go Rodgers.
Baker Mayfield or Aaron Rodgers?
Baker.
Michael Penix or Aaron Rodgers?
Rodgers.
Bryce Young or Aaron Rodgers?
Rodgers.
The Saints said Rodgers. No. Stafford or Rodgers?
Stafford.
Okay. Sam Darnold or Aaron Rodgers?
Rodgers.
Kyler Murray or Aaron Rodgers?
Rodgers.
Brock Purdy or Aaron Rodgers?
Purdy.
That's 14 quarterbacks if I counted on my fingers correctly. Like, that's where Aaron Rodgers is now. Imagine if I came on the radio last year entering last season and I said, hey, Aaron Rodgers is not a top 10 quarterback. The phone lines would be lit up. This guy Gelb is a moron, right? I did my top 10 list. This was a month ago. I didn't even consider Rodgers top 10. Now it's like, okay, he's going to play, right? He's not going to retire. He's not going to go do the ayahuasca. And, you know, maybe with Elon Musk on the way out, maybe he'll try to get into the cabinet of President Trump. You never know. Maybe he doesn't even ever play for the Steelers. Maybe. Could be a case. But this guy right now, he's 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, right? In that realm. And there's some youngsters there that you passed on.
I was very conservative on those guys.
Just because they're not established. Yeah. Like, you said Rodgers, Bo Nix. I think you went Rodgers, right?
I did.
I can make a case that I'd rather have Bo Nix this year than Aaron Rodgers.
Definitely.
Bo Nix had a better year last year than what Aaron Rodgers did. So, you look at it, is it really worth it? I don't think so. I don't want to call the Steelers a pig because they're not. But it's almost like putting lipstick on a pig. You're just looking at Aaron Rodgers used to be. And yeah, there will be some, like, come on, you know it. Week one, I don't care what the point spread is. Line it up on the Steelers up against the Jets, right? Rodgers, bang, like awesome moment. Oh, he's back. Discount, double check. Like he'll probably, ooh, I would love to see the Bears just destroy him. But he'll probably beat the Bears. He's going to have some moments this year. But at the end of the season, you're going to look back and you're going to say, was it really worth it? Was it really worth it? Probably not. All righty, let's do this. So Tyrese Halliburton has gone on a run that the numbers, every time you give him, is just idiotic. So we went through this right when he beat the Knicks in game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. And we had all those crazy stats. The crazy stat from last night, 0-182 was the record of teams last night in the NBA Finals. Entering last night of the NBA Finals and trailing by 9-plus points in the final 3 minutes of NBA Finals game since 1971. Now it's 1-182. All right? Like, you put one there in the win column for what was able to happen last night. You also have from last night most tying or go-ahead field goals in the final 5 seconds in the postseason since 1997. LeBron has 8. Halliburton is tied for second with 5, had 4 this postseason, also Reggie Miller with 5. So you look back at these moments, let's relive them right now after another instance last night where it was the Pacers are going to lose, the Pacers don't have it in them. You know, when Miles Turner missed a 3, and this was like 3 minutes to go, it felt like, when Miles Turner missed a 3 and then Halliburton missed a 3, you said to yourself, all right, they got close, they made it respectable, but that's probably the straw that breaks the camel's back. And then even after when Dort makes that block, which I thought was a foul at first, they replay. I'm like, oh, what a crazy block. And they reestablished that like 5-point cushion, I think it was. All right, yeah, that's probably the final straw that broke the camel's back, right? That's what you're thinking. But this is what the Pacers do. Just when you think the game is over, that's when the game gets started for the Indiana Pacers. And they come on back and they just find a way to kill you. And Halliburton, it doesn't matter if he was a 0 for most of the game or he's playing a great game, he just shows up. So this is back to the first round of the playoffs. They're going up against the Milwaukee Bucks. They're in overtime. Bucks are trying to continue on their season. The Pacers go on an 8-0 run in the final 35 seconds. Think about these numbers. 8-0 run in the final 35 seconds of overtime to eliminate the Bucks, and this was the game winner by Tyrese Halliburton.
Here comes Halliburton. Hits the timeline with 7. Outside the arc with 5. Driving in the lane at the goal. He lays it in with 1 3/10 seconds to go. Milwaukee has no timeouts. They have to go the length. Ball is going to be played in by Antetokounmpo. He gets it to Trent, and this one is over. So unbelievable.
You know, there's a crazy moment always whenever a team wins a championship. And the Pacers, right, they still got to get 3 more victories. It's not a lock that they're going to win a championship. If the Oklahoma City Thunder bounce back coming up on Sunday night and they get the victory right, yes, the Pacers did their job, but everyone that was on the Oklahoma City Thunder that may jump off the bandwagon after what happened last night probably run right back to the bandwagon and say, okay, load back up the Thunder train. But you look at moments where teams that win a championship, you have like one improbable win, usually. And I know in the NFL, it usually happens. College football, it usually happens. It's different when you look at the Stanley Cup playoffs and the NBA playoffs because they're series, long series. 7-game series, you got to get to 4. But in any championship, even a March Madness when it's surviving advance, you usually win a game that you're supposed to lose. Usually win a game where you go, oh, you didn't play well, and you have something crazy. For example, an 8-0 run in 35 seconds in overtime to eliminate the Bucks. That's just one moment, though. They've had 3 other this postseason. So here was in game 2 up against the Cavs. They were down by 7 with 48 seconds to go. And Tyrese Halliburton ended up having this crazy sequence that got them the victory and also gave him a 2-0 series lead, which basically ended the Cavs season.
Second one is short, and it's rebounded by Halliburton. The Pacers have a timeout. Will they use it? No, they don't. Yes, they do have a timeout. 4 seconds to go. Halliburton for 3. 3 ball up top. Indiana by 1. 1 1/10 seconds to go. Inbound. Merrill didn't get it off. And this rivals the Milwaukee finish.
And all these calls are from the great Mark Boyle on the Pacers Radio Network, who's going to join us sometime next week, and we'll see if the Pacers continue to have a lead in the NBA Finals. So, the first 2 rounds, right? Stupid moment after stupid moment. All right. 8-0 run, final 35 seconds overtime to eliminate the Bucks. You're down by 7 with 48 seconds to play up against the Cavs. You come on back, you take a 2-0 series lead. How about Madison Square Garden? I was there. World's most famous arena. 14-point lead with 2:45 to go. I'm looking at my watch. I haven't told this story yet, this part of the story. I'm looking at my watch. No, I didn't leave still. And I'm joking to my buddy in the suite saying, this game's over. Wrap it up. We all got to catch the train. Even though I was just taking a subway back to New York City, but a lot of people had to go take the Long Island Railroad. And I was saying, I go, it's over. 14-point lead with 2:45 to go. And then 9-point lead with 52 seconds to go. And then Tyrese Halliburton, his foot was on the line or else it would have been a game winner. But that ball hits the rim, shoots up into the air, and all of us high-fiving, yeah, Knicks win, Knicks win, Knicks win. And then you just hear, oh, truck. Oh, hit. And you go, why are the Pacers on the court celebrating? What did I miss? So this was this moment at Madison Square Garden where the Pacers tied the game and then eventually won it in overtime.
2-point game, 6 seconds to go. Halliburton driving. He's in the lane. He nearly lost it. He backs up and unloads a 3.
Oh,
that did not happen. It hit the back of the rim. It popped high into the air, and it dropped gently through the net.
Does Mark Boyle get tired of these moments? It's the same thing every damn time. A game they shouldn't win. And they find a way to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat, and it's every time Halliburton. But now you're in the NBA Finals, right? The luck's going to run out. Cinderella story, Halliburton, you're good, you're great, but you're not a superstar, right? Oh, you're playing like dog crap in the NBA Finals. Your team had 25 turnovers, and they haven't led the entire game. And then this sequence happened where you have the MVP coming up small, and then the real MVP of the playoffs right now, up until this point, Tyrese Halliburton saying, yes, guess what? I did it again.
Gilgeous Alexander has it, 9 to shoot. The defender is Nembhard. Here comes the left-hand bounce, penetrates the arc. Nembhard cuts him off, and he missed off the back of the rim. Rebound, Indiana. 8 seconds to go. The Pacers are not going to call a timeout. Halliburton has it with 3, driving with 2, pulling up, and hitting with 3/10 of a second to go. How many more times can this team do that?
Sweet baby.
Hey, Samter, you've been with the network since its inception. Britney Spears has probably only been mentioned, I don't even know if she shaved her head when the network was around or not, but if the network was around, they probably mentioned her when she shaved her head, and then also when she had that lawsuit, I think it was with her father, right? Those are probably only 2 times, if the shave the head was when the network was around, that Britney Spears would ever be mentioned on this network, correct?
I would imagine so. She shaved her head in 2007, so that was a little bit before.
Oh, okay. So but only 1 time with the whole lawsuit thing probably that happened.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure that there's some other weird instances, but yeah, not many things I could think of.
Well, Halliburton, oops, I did it again. That's what it is. That's what Tyrese Halliburton's doing. He's channeling Britney Spears, inner Britney Spears. Oops, I did it again. Bucks, oops, I came on back. 8-0 run. Who cares in overtime? All right, it won't happen again, right? No, 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 no. It's not going to happen. Cavs game 2. Oops, I did it again. Next, you're up 14, 2:45 to go. Manny Rodriguez is still freaking out about this. EJ still crying about it. Oh, oops, I did it again. And then last night, Thunder fans, oops, I did it again. Tyrese Halliburton, he's breaking your heart. And guess what? He doesn't want you to be his friend. I think that's somewhere in the lyrics or like that.
Yeah, hit me, baby, one more time.
Oh, yeah. Well, if he hits the Thunder again in game 2, night, night. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We will take a break. We'll come on back. We'll update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We get to a news brief next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Alrighty, news brief time. Let's hear the Korean version of Tyrese Halliburton's shot. This is courtesy of Spo TV.
바깥에 없이가요, 없이가요.
자, 언더독, 언더독인 인디애나가 익숙한 상황을 맞이한다. 할리버튼, 버튼을 했네요.
I have no clue what was just said, but it's awesome. And you can use that for anything. For example, good friend of the show, Anthony Gallo. His mother makes these tremendous pinoli cookies. When she makes these pinoli cookies, that's the same reaction I have. Stu, play for me one more time. When I hear, hey, Zach, or let me, sorry, do it as if I'm Anthony Gallo.
Yo, bro. Yo, yo. Yo, how you doing? Make fun of Stu for me. I'll give you some pinoli cookies.
Oh, your mom made pinoli cookies?
Yeah.
바깥에 없이가요, 없이가요.
자, 언더독, 언더독인 인디애나가 익숙한 상황을 맞이한다. 할리버튼, 버튼을 했네요.
우와! 우와!
할리버튼! 와우! 0.3초!
역전이다는 인디애나가. 아, 이거 아주 아버지죠. NBA 파이널에서도 드라마 쓰나요?
So, obviously, the one word we could understand is Halliburton there. There was, did you hear the little part where he's like under the Indiana guy? Did you hear that part of the clip?
I didn't hear that, no.
Play it one more time.
박효태 없이 가요.
자, 언더독인 인디애나가 익숙한 상황을
맞는다.
버튼을
I don't know what they're talking about at that moment, but that's the one part of the clip outside of Halliburton, and then the screaming at the end that happens, that I actually had somewhat of a clue what I knew it was going on, even though I really didn't have a clue because I don't know, under the Indiana guy, I don't know what that means, but at least I could recognize the English part of that. Let's go to WPTA Fort Wayne, Indiana. Imagine watching this game and they, you know what happens here? They probably have a hard out or something to get to the local news that's scheduled and didn't just take it off because of the or a promo or something. They didn't just take that scheduling that runs every night because they didn't expect to have an NBA Finals game and someone dropped the ball. That would be my guess. But this is what happened in the fourth quarter. If you were watching WPTA Fort Wayne, Indiana, this was what transpired on your television set.
The Thunder clinging to this three-point lead. SGA the drive inside. Shot blocked. Siakam throws it back.
Next on 21 Alive News, the man who was brutally beaten at Pike's Pub last week has come forward. Hear what he wants to have happen now. Also tonight, a big night for Pacer fans as Indiana is in the NBA Finals. We'll show you a local business who has seen a boost from the Yes Sirs.
And we could see a little fog overnight tonight. We'll have the very latest forecast coming up in a few minutes.
Thanks for staying up with us. I'm Amara Boss. Fort Wayne's most watched news. Start.
SGA guarded by Nimhard.
I actually feel bad for whatever restaurant they're talking about. Because if that restaurant is shown, everyone goes, get that effing restaurant off my screen right now. The Rangers, I think it was when they were playing the Lightning. I think it was the Lightning in the Eastern Conference Finals a few years ago. I forget what happened, but I think it was an ESPN mess up where they cut away from the broadcast and then they went back in and then they ended up, I think it was winning the game in overtime or something like that. But for those 20 seconds, it felt as if it was 4 hours. Oh, imagine if that was right when the game... I know it was late in the fourth. It was like a minute and a half, minute left. Imagine if you missed the game winner, and that's when they cut out. Oh.
Could you imagine if you were recording the game, and then the DVR stopped, and then you missed all of overtime and the big final play in the Super Bowl or the finals or...
Oh, yeah, you did that.
Yeah, that was me.
Oh, well. Who DVRs a Super Bowl? You can't DVR the Super Bowl. What did you have that night?
No. I was just like, you know, I was pausing so I can watch some of the commercials. So I was just behind. I was watching it. I was just behind. And then when it ended, it went back to the beginning.
Yeah, there's some non-negotiables for me. I know when you get older in life, you get more responsibilities. We talked about this a lot. That kid, Rami, who works here, very nice guy. He goes, oh, yeah, I was once at a play during the Super Bowl. Huh? You know what the date is of the Super Bowl? If on Super Bowl Sunday, I can't sit down on my couch for 4 hours... or 5 hours and do nothing, and I have to watch the game on delay, or I gotta tape it, or I gotta. What's the point of being here? Seriously, Super Bowl Sunday's just reserved just for the football, nothing else. Let's go to Rick Carlisle. He says the team can't get too emotionally high after the game one victory.
We haven't been celebrating a whole lot with anything, really, and that's some of that is our experience last year. Some of it is Pascal having been through, you know, this kind of a run and getting to the finals before.
I continuously think that Pascal Siakam's the most underrated player in the league. Yeah, we always talk about who's the most overrated. He's got to be the most underrated because look at the way Eddie Gill joined us. And he said ever since he got here, it kind of changed the trajectory of this franchise. You went from being a nice story, a fine team, to then, okay, this is a guy that knows how to win. Let's follow him. Let's follow his lead. And you're basically seeing Pascal Siakam's all over the court. Good players. Just good players, right, that get the job done. I know Halliburton's turned into a star. But he has elevated everyone's game on that team. And the front office has done a sensational job. Let's go to Tyrese Halliburton. I was watching this live after the game. This was Scott Van Pelt on the ESPN. And Tyrese Halliburton said this when he was asked how he felt to start the game with the slow start by the Pacers.
I felt jittery in the first half.
It looked
honestly
that way.
Yeah, I felt jittery. I was playing too fast. I was out of control. I mean, we had, 20 turnovers in, the first half.
That's the most you've had in 25 years.
Yeah, and just very uncharacteristic of us. You know?
How much of that's them?
A lot. They're a historic defense. They're a great defense. But I just think we caught ourselves driving with no plan. You know, against this team, if you drive with no plan, it can get ugly. It can get ugly quick.
You can get lost.
Yeah, exactly. So we just got to do a better job of driving with a plan, and playing with some more controlled chaos. We love chaos, but they love chaos too. But we need it to be more controlled. And we'll watch the film, see if we can get better. I thought we were a lot better in the second half. I think in the third quarter, we have, three turnovers for, three fast break points, mm-hmm. 3 points off turnover, something like that.
And that's winning basketball. So, there's a lot for us to improve on with this game. We'll go back and watch the film and see where we can get better.
He starts sucking the air out of the balloon. What the heck happened towards the end? Oh, my God. I'm almost startled by that when you hear that. Anyway, if I would have sat you down, and let's say you didn't watch the game, and I said the Pacers would have 25 turnovers in this game, and then just play you the part where he's only talking about driving without a plan and the team being jittery, you would have thought they would have lost by 20 points. And they won the game. Incredible. Here is Tyrese Haliburton coming back in the trust that this team has once again, SVP on ESPN.
I was visiting with one of your coaches pregame, and they mentioned to me that you all have become elite problem solvers. Yeah. I thought that was such an interesting way to describe it. How do you make that make sense to me in the audience? The idea of becoming elite problem solvers in real time on a stage like this against a team like that?
Yeah, I just think it's the trust that we have from our staff, really. Like, I think Coach Carlisle trusts us. You see in that last play, he doesn't call timeout. Most coaches would call timeout in that play. He trusts us. And I think
that trust comes from, having to find different ways to win throughout the regular season, uh-huh. And this group, we've been together now.
This is our second full year together, really, as all of us as a group. And our front office, kudos to them for believing in this group, keeping us together after a run last year. And, I just think that's why we're battle-tested and we just figure out ways to win.
Let's go to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You get the winning side. Now let's get to the losing side. This is SGA and the game one loss.
We just got to focus on being better. The series isn't first to one, it's first to four. So we have four more games to get, they have three, and that's just where we are. We got to understand that, and we got to get to four before they get to three if we want to win the NBA championship, and it's that simple. It's not rocket science. We lost game one. We have to be better.
And now let's go to Miles Turner on Tyrese Haliburton. Another clutch moment on him, just keep on doing this week in and week out.
Ultimate confidence in himself, and that is so... Some players will say they have it, but there's other players that show it. And, he's going to let you know about it, too. That's one of the things I respect about him. He's just he's a baller, man. He's a hooper. He's just really just a gamer. When it comes to the moments, he wants the ball. He wants to be the one to, hit that shot. He doesn't shy away from the moment. And very important this time of the year, to have a go-to guy. And just seems to keep finding a way. And we keep getting the ball in the right positions. And, the rest is history.
And let's continue with the superstardom of Tyrese Haliburton. We go to Dwayne Wade. He knows a thing or two about winning in the postseason. This is credit of the WY Network by Dwayne Wade. This is what Dwayne Wade had to say about what he saw last night from Tyrese Haliburton.
Haliburton is a superstar. I just witnessed one of the greatest games of my... First of all, it's one of the greatest games that I've watched as a fan tonight in the NBA Finals. OKC Pacers. Yeah. Haliburton is a superstar. It ain't no question no more. I don't think you understand when you're out of rhythm and you're struggling.
Yeah.
You ain't having the game. You ain't getting that rhythm. You ain't getting your bunnies. You ain't getting your free throws. You ain't got no rhythm. To take that shot and to make that shot, he's a cold mother. He's Allen Iverson will call him.
Yeah.
And probably say, you a cold mother.
In the finals?
In the finals. Everybody who's played basketball, if you ever picked up a basketball, you've always dreamed of hitting a game winner in the biggest game of your life. You just hit a game winner in the finals.
Yeah. What the hell is...
What the... Y'all better stop playing with Haliburton. He said, I'm going to get a jersey. I need a sign. This guy has something, bro. His clutch gene is what we all want in life.
I think this could be the two biggest praise that a player could get when you're referred to as a cold mother bleeper, and I got to go get his jersey because I got to go get it signed. Finally, here is Shane Steichen on Anthony Richardson and his shoulder injury.
We'll see when he comes back. Not going to put a timetable for training camp on it, but when he does come back, we'll ease him into throwing, and then we'll go from there. The good thing is he's not going to need a procedure right now.
All righty, right now. Remember, that's the wording of that. How about Dan Dokic, by the way? He said over 7.5 wins for the Colts this year. He said he's going to place a large bet on the over there. I was not expecting that one, especially how he started the conversation when we were talking about the Colts and he was ripping them. And then I go, that season's over before it started. He goes, no, they're actually going to win some games this year. I had the over on that. Oh, man. I wonder what Hickey would say to that. Because then we could kind of pit Hickey up against Dokic. If Hickey takes the under and Dokic takes the over. I think the two of them, Hickey and Dokic, once went at it on social media once.
Yeah.
I think Dokic saw one of Hickey's takes and he went after Hickey, which I can't really crush Dan Dokic for. Tell me another day that ends in Y. All righty, it is a Zach Gelb show on the Infinity Sports Network. What the Oklahoma City Thunder need to learn from the New York Knicks. We get to that on the other side. Update time first here, Zach. The MLS game preview, which is Stu and Samter's favorite version of soccer, is sponsored by Lowe's. Craftsman Days are live at Lowe's. Get free tools with select purchases. Check out the Fuel line of Craftsman tools at your nearest Lowe's today. Inter Miami are coming off a 5-1 victory against Columbus last week, where Messi, he scored 2 goals and had 2 assists. The club is currently preparing for their first match in the Club World Cup, which takes place on June 14th. The Club World Cup. Some say they're more excited for the Club World Cup than the actual World Cup. Not me. Others around here. Stu, right? Was that a soccer take that you had? No?
Not for me, no.
Oh, Samter, wasn't that your soccer take?
But that's a personal opinion. I'm just more excited because this is the first time it's ever happened. And it's exciting to see the teams rather than the country.
Yeah, I've run that take by 2 people. Azarum, he was disgusted. Disgusted. Almost as if you would have said to like Alex Azarum, hey, can you go like clip my toenails or something? Like he was appalled. And then I said that to Alejandro Solana on 560 WQAM. And he was like, what casual are you talking to? And you're a big soccer fan.
Well, here's also the other part of it is, like, I root for the U.S., and the U.S. never can contend with the champions.
So explain to me this Club World Cup again.
So basically, this would be the equivalent.
It's so confusing.
Instead of USA versus Argentina or Spain, it'd be the equivalent of, like, Mets versus Yankees or, you know, Lakers versus. So it's the best teams from the leagues around the country. So, like, Chelsea is one of the teams. Manchester City is one of the teams. Miami, Messi's team here in MLS. Bayern Munich is the best team in Germany. Juventus is going to be there. Real Madrid. PSG, which is the Paris team. So the best teams from the best leagues from around the world are going to be at the same.
You could have given me 15 guesses. I would have never been able to tell you.
Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah, I would have never. If there's like PSG, you know, the Paris team. Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. Yes. Really provided a lot of clarity there for me.
Well, that's just what people call them.
You know what I feel as if I'm in right now? Earth science class again.
There you go.
This is the most lost I've ever been since 8th grade earth science class. Oh, my goodness gracious. All righty. Here is what the Thunder need to learn from the Knicks. You could lose game one. I understand it was an all-time gag job by the New York Knicks. Terrible. And everyone says, every Tom, Dick, and Harry has the same take. Oh, the Knicks really lost the series in game one. They were up 14 with 2:45 to play, 9 with a minute to play. I sound like I'm Pat Boyle there for a second. You know? But anyway, yes, it was a terrible choke job. But it was one game. A brutal choke job. One of the worst losses you'll ever come across. But if the Knicks would have won game two, all right, series back on. But when you are the home team and you lose both of those games, that's inexcusable. And who had the biggest performance of that series, Knicks and Pacers? It was Pascal Siakam. And that's why I won the Eastern Conference Finals MVP. Pascal Siakam cooked the Knicks in game two. He had 39 points. He was a point shy of a 40 burger. He had 39 points in the game. And the Indiana Pacers beat the Knicks 2-0. So, what's going to happen today? What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to then happen before you get to this game on Sunday? Is the NBA going to make us wait any longer than that? You know, I'll get back to my take in just a second, but sometimes you're about to give a take and then something else sets you off. So the NBA final schedule, last night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, game one. Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern is game two. Can we get this game at 3:30? You know, the NFL plays at 4:25. They play a Super Bowl at 6:25. We got to get this game at 8 o'clock on a Sunday night. And by the way, you got to wait Friday, Saturday, and then all of Sunday. And I understand, right? You got West Coast, even though these aren't West Coast teams, you want to get that market. But on a Sunday, you think the West Coast fan would be annoyed if you play that game at 12:30? Which would then be, hey, that'd be 12:30. Yeah, 12:30, which would be 3:30 p.m. Eastern time. Absolutely not. So then after you get games 1 and 2, then you have to wait Monday, Tuesday, and then we get to see basketball again game 3 on Wednesday. At least then, and by the way, the game on Wednesday, it's 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. At least after that, then game 4 would only be Friday. Then if there's a game 5, you won't get game 5 until Monday. And then if there's a game 6, that would be on a Thursday. And the latest this would go, if it goes to 7, would be June 22nd. That would be 8 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday. Man, this is too long.
I don't know if this is brilliant by the NBA or terrible, but because there's really nothing else going on.
Well, that's why you could play the game on a Sunday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern time.
Well, so for them, they don't care because we're going to have to talk about the NBA Finals
sure. In
between the games anyway. So they don't care if they have 2 days, 3 days, 5 days in between because they know we're going to talk about it because there's nothing else to talk about.
Yeah. I recently had someone that is not a big sports fan who I was watching. It was game 2. Knicks and Pistons, I think it was, right? Because the Pistons, I think, won game 2. I believe it was. And that person thought that the series was over just watching that game that they lost. And then realized, oh, the Knicks are still playing. And then there's NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Final. And it's still going on this late into the year. The NBA postseason is just dragged out way too long. But anyway. Here's the main point if you're a Thunder fan, as we get back to what the take was supposed to be. The Oklahoma City Thunder lost game 1 humiliating fashion. You can't lose game 2. If you win game 2, all right, you choked away game 1, you'll go to Indiana, they'll probably split, you come back, you win game 5, you go up 3-2, right? That's the road. You lose game 2, I think we all go from picking the Oklahoma City Thunder to how can you pick the Thunder to win the series? How can you even hold out hope that the Thunder are going to come on back? You can't lose the first 2 on your home court. Because if you do, yes, technically the Pacers could go win games 3 and 4 and then sweep you. But you just win 1 on your home court. Then you go up 3-1. You're up 3-1. I know we had the Cavs and the Warriors and a 3-1 comeback. The chances of even the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are a great team, coming back from 3-1 are slim. Slim to none. This game 2... is a must-win for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Just like Cal is a must-win for the Knicks. You could afford to lose game 1 in the pathetic, brutal, choke job of a fashion way that you did. But it's how you bounce back. The Knicks couldn't bounce back. So even when the Knicks teased their fan and, hey, they won game 3, then they lost game 4, and they win game 5, like, it was over after 2-0. The Oklahoma City Thunder will go from, hey, they're easily going to win the championship, to that if they don't win on Sunday night, I don't get how you could have any hope against this Pacers team that you would come on back and end up winning that series. Game 2 is a must-win for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And don't give me this bull crap. Oh, well, you could go get 2 on their home court. They got 2 on your home court. You go get 2 on their home court. Stop it. Stop it. This Pacers team, they're not losing both those games on their home court. They will find a way to win 1 of them. And that's what it was. The Knicks couldn't do that. They couldn't get off the mat after the game 1 loss. You have to get off the mat tomorrow night. If the Thunder get off the... Oh, not tomorrow night. Sunday night. Should be tomorrow night. If I was the commissioner, first off, it'd be the first commissioner in the NBA since Stern with a backbone. I would have a backbone, and I would have this game being played tomorrow night. But Adam Silver doesn't do it that way. So you got to get off the mat. And if the Thunder get off the mat and win, then I'll be back on thinking that they're going to win this series. If they don't win, Indiana, you can get the parade ready. Do a little onside, offside next. This is Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.